Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Not sure why, Pearl, but some people just can't accept the reasons, the multitude of reasons that Shedeur Sanders fell to what we thought maybe was a borderline first-round pick all the way to the fifth round. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I'm starting to just, I've just bought in that they made a lot of mistakes. You know, the Sanders team, a lot of miscalculations, didn't treat the process right. They weren't getting good intel on what the NFL really thought about Shedeur. All those things seem to make sense to me, but yet there's more theories coming out there now by prominent people who believe there's something way more sinister at play.
Oh, yeah, but I don't take any of that seriously. I mean, I think it's not just what you just said. It's the, is it possible it's the whole Colorado thing? Like, just all the hype that he's been getting forever. It's not just the draft process. Is everything around Shedeur Sanders scaring NFL teams away? And is this an interesting lesson for draft prospects? You know, I mean, is all the Deion-ness and all the attention they've got? They've been the number one college program for 2 years.
Right.
They've won 14 games.
Right.
It's a bit of a circus, right?
Yeah. You know, listen, I thought 2 years ago was definitely way more circusy because, you know,
point,
it was Deion's first year coaching at the FBS level, you know, high major college, you know, no disrespect to the HBCUs, but it is a little bit of a different, it's just a different level of football. This was going into the Big 12 and, not that it's not FBS, but going into the Big 12. And the fact of the matter was they had some really dramatic wins and some terrible losses. You had rappers there in The Rock, and the celebrities all came out for Deion, and it became a lot about Flash. Plus, Travis Hunter was really must-see because he was playing both ways. And then the second year, I felt like we settled in a little bit more. It was
a little bit.
It was still big, but you know, I think, quite frankly, the biggest story last year in college football was the 12-team college football playoff and how that impacted things.
Yeah, that's
true. As opposed to just, like, the Colorado Buffaloes.
Totally agree with you. But let me ask you this question, though. There's still a lot of hype around Colorado. Even last year, there was obviously a lot of hype. They had the Heisman Trophy winner. Do you think that it's going to be a circus in Cleveland?
Oh, we need a new word for circus. Like,
yeah, so I think that circus is going to, I think it's the same circus from Colorado is going to follow. The circus was partially media driven, partially because Deion is friends with everybody. So all that's true still in Cleveland. I don't think he's going to be able to just sort of disappear into the locker room in Cleveland. I think he's going to stand out, and he's going to have people around him, and it's going to be sound bites every week, and there's going to be opinion pieces.
Yep.
So all the noise is going to continue. So all the reasons the teams didn't want him, teams didn't want noise in their locker room, they're Cleveland's getting it.
Well, and Cleveland's the worst place for it because, A, I don't think they've handled these things particularly well. Like, if he had gone to the Steelers or the Chiefs or, you know, the
Steelers, no, because he might have to play.
Well, but Mike Tomlin, I think, would have a way of kind of keeping the media a little at arm's length as much as he could.
If he had the Le'Veon Bell situation, he had the AB situation.
I know. I get that. I mean, I think if he had gone to the Rams, I think there were places where he probably could have gone a little bit more to the back burner, but the Browns certainly aren't one of them. But it's funny because the Browns taking Shedeur is such a huge part of this story because there's so much that goes with the Browns, how terrible they are at evaluating quarterbacks, why they took Dylan Gabriel 50 picks before him, is the coach and GM on the hot seat, all that stuff is there. So here comes Michael Irvin on Instagram yesterday talking about first how Shador dropping out of the first round cost him way more money than you think.
The $50 million robbery of Shador Sanders. Because that's what I just witnessed. Everywhere we've seen, everything we've seen, everybody that has seen him play said he is the one or two in this draft.
Okay, so cost him a lot of money. Although Shador, not to count his, you know, what's in his wallet, but he was just at his own party that he threw where he had like $1 million in a Louis Vuitton suitcase. Like, he's cool. But here's more from Irvin, who says that he believes as Shador is falling in the draft, the NFL stepped in.
I've never seen them position the cameras and position, give forewarning about who's about to be drafted. I wonder if Cleveland got a call from somebody in the NFL saying, we got to draft this kid. You just robbed this young man of $50 million. And it wasn't on his playing ability. Wow. Shame on you.
Okay, so if the NFL did get involved here, and again, this is Michael Irvin.
Which they did not.
I don't know. But it wouldn't be because they feel like they owed Shador Sanders money. That's not it at all. I think they'd be worried about the optics of how it looked if he didn't get drafted at all. And what that could possibly, you know, mean for the NFL. We know that Roger Goodell has made calls before on behalf of draft prospects. The one that most famously, a couple famous ones, but Michael Sam, for
sure.
What
are the other ones?
Well, so Michael Sam, because he would have been the first openly gay player to be drafted, and obviously that would have been, that was a very watershed moment for the NFL in terms of progression, being part of progressive society and all the positive message that sent about inclusion. But he said later he did call about Colin Kaepernick. But it was way after, it was seemed a little after the fact.
Right. Oh, okay. I thought you said about draft.
Sorry. Colin Kaepernick wasn't a draft prospect at the time. But called on behalf of somebody. I just don't think Shador Sanders lands in either of those two guys' categories at all.
Well, it gets down to like my issue with conspiracy theories. For example, my wife works for the government, and people think that the government is lucky if they can even fill out a lunch order, let alone have this deep conspiracy.
What are you, Musk?
I'm just saying, like, no, I know, like, the things that you people think the government is doing in these deep conspiracies is so insane when it's so hard to run the day-to-day of any business, any city, any country. It is so hard. The NFL was running a draft. There's no way they had time to theorize how to... The league itself, there's just, to me, I give that close to a zero chance. Like the logistics of Roger Goodell actually calling Cleveland saying, hey, can you draft this guy? He was super busy. Everyone was busy. That's what I'm saying. It's really hard. That's my issue with conspiracies. It's just like, I don't think that they can execute these conspiracies. The NFL is not nearly as smart as we think they are. They do not have conspiracies. Like, trust me, they could barely get the games off on Sunday afternoon.
Well, I don't know about that.
I've worked there. There was so much energy that goes into actually putting on games and having officials who are sober and on the field.
No,
I'm just kidding. But generally, like, I just don't, I think in all that draft hoopla, I think that the NFL would not have really the time or the incentive to call the Browns and say, I just don't think they could put all that together. I think there's a more likely explanation.
Okay, yeah. So here comes Chris Carter. So that was Michael Irvin. So let's go from one Hall of Fame wide receiver to another. Can I hear, actually, Manny, I'm going to change it up. Can I hear cut 7, please? So this is Chris Carter on a podcast called Fully Loaded. He completely rejects, like Perloff, that there was any conspiracy theory at play.
The number one thing that didn't happen was there was not a collusion message with the NFL owners.
Okay, what? Okay, a lot of people think that.
Because they wouldn't be able to keep a secret like that. And
so they might do it, but they couldn't shut up about it.
They wouldn't be able to shut up about it. But every owner is very, very selfish. Now, why would I do something to my detriment? Like, if I need a quarterback and I think this kid is it, what he didn't realize is the guys that have fallen in the draft before, they all had unusual traits. Like, they had some superstar qualities to them. Now, some other things happened that made them fall, but Shador and his family, they overplayed their hand. Them thinking that he was in the same evaluation mode as Eli Manning, they didn't play that right.
Okay, more from, so Chris Carter saying it's just more flat out that the Sanders family made mistakes along the way here and that Shador wasn't this elite talent that they may have thought. More from Chris Carter saying Shador was taught a really big lesson here.
Let me tell you what he understands today.
Okay.
He ain't running. Okay?
Yeah.
Let me tell you what. They taught him a great lesson.
Okay.
Like, you don't have this figured out. Your dad don't have this figured out.
Who's they? NFL,
Shador,
the world. No, who taught you? Said they taught him. I'm just curious. Like,
well, the system.
The system.
Okay, there's a system out there, man.
Okay. Okay. So Chris is then later asked, that's Chris Carter. He's later asked, like, do you think he's going to learn from this? And he said, no. He doesn't actually think that Shador is going to learn from this because, Pearl, he said there's nothing that he's seen so far that would make him think that he learned from this. Now,
No.
This is a big humbling moment in theory for Shador Sanders. If you're not going to take a different tact now, right? You have to be a little tone deaf, no?
Yeah, I mean, not everybody changes, though. Not everybody gets lessons. We have countless athletes who've failed to hear the message.
Yeah, human beings, yeah.
And flame out of the end. You know, guys, remember, only 50% of these, actually, 50% of the first rounders are productive NFL players, and fifth rounders, what, 10% at best? So most of these guys aren't going to make it, so maybe he won't learn. It does feel like, I think you and I feel the same way. It's like, there is a loud and clear message to Shador to take a different approach to his profession. And I think he's going to get it personally. Don't you think he will?
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure because I don't know how the Sanderses are really viewing this. Are they really viewing it as, wow, we messed this up? Or are they viewing it as everyone else messed up and it's only a matter of time till they see?
Great question.
And yeah. What we talked to Mary Kay Cabot yesterday, who's been a beat writer for the Browns for a long time. And I asked, like, do you think the Browns are going to ask Shador to tone it down? You know, stop live streaming as much, maybe cut the podcast a little bit or whatever. And she said, no, they don't do that there. The ethos in the building is you be you. So I don't think Shador's going to get that message from the Browns.
And Deion never tones it down. He never pulls back.
And who are the other quarterbacks in the room we're going to tell him to simmer? Like Joe Flacco? Is that message going to get through? Kenny Pickett? Like, and Dylan Gabriel is a fellow rookie.
Maybe so, he could lead by example. Joe Flacco's as quiet and humble as, I mean, he didn't he win the Super Bowl and go to Burger King or something? And Kenny Pickett is apparently, seems like a pretty down-to-earth quarterback. They say he's a good personality, right? Didn't Mary Kay say that?
Yeah, but, I mean, Shador has access to Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the person.
Yeah, I don't think Shador, I understand what you're saying. I think Shador will be pretty professional in this building. That's my sense. Do you think he's going to be...
We're going to find out.
Yeah, no, I think it's a bad team, and I think it's a bad situation because they really want a quarterback next year. But I think Shador is... He's going to have no problem acting as a professional. Dude threw 37 touchdowns at Colorado. They never had, I know now people are saying it's only because of the altitude. They never had anyone throw 37 touchdowns before. I think he's going to be totally solid. The other, I have no doubt. I don't think anyone, people don't think he's not going to be a professional, I think. I think a lot of people think he can play. I just think it'll be too annoying almost. I like to have Deion around.
To be fair, you know, and I would say this if he was sitting right here, he hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt yet because we're coming off of a process where his professionalism was 100% called into question he handled himself in these pre-draft interviews. So he has to prove it. I know he's got the stats from college and he has his college career to feel good about, his numbers retired and all of that. No one can ever take that away from him. But as far as proving you can be a professional football player, that's a 100% question mark.
Well, I think, you know, this is totally hindsight, but we should have known Johnny Manziel was going to flame out. We did not, no one really knew to the extent of how quickly it was going to happen. We think we do now, but I don't see any of that kind of behavior. I I've never actually heard that Shador doesn't work in football. Like, I've never heard that he's lazy. I mean, maybe he didn't read the Giants install plan. But at Colorado, like that, did you get the sense like he couldn't have run that offense if he wasn't studying the playbook? I feel like he's, I don't know. I thought you were kind of with me on this one. I think he could be a good quarterback. Again, like Kirk Cousins is good.
Is he going to work at it? I don't know.
I definitely think he'll work at it. The question is, can he find the right place?
Joe is in San Francisco. Joe, what do you think about Shador?
Hey, I think he's going to... you know, it could be okay. Maybe not. He didn't get no money, so they're not going to lose nothing.
Right.
So bottom line is, like I said before, it was all about the money. So they basically getting him for nothing right now.
Right. So, Joe, it's a fair point, but they could cut him, and financially it's not going to mean much. But Perloff, you have thought that, listen, you know, it's not just as easy as cutting Shedeur Sanders and you think you're going to get no attention for it. Like, that's not just going to happen on the waiver wire and, you know, it goes unnoticed.
I was shocked. We had the Browns reporter from The Athletic said, yeah, he's just a normal fifth-round pick and they can cut him. But then again, I'll be honest, I was shocked that Michael Sam didn't make the Rams. And you know why I was shocked? Not because of all the social implications. Dude had 14 sacks at Missouri or something. He was very, very productive. I didn't understand any of that. I'm like, why is this guy, how could he be the SEC Defensive Player of the Year and not make a team? Were you ever in the same boat? And I had the same question for Shedeur. How can you throw that many touchdowns at Colorado and not get a shot in the NFL? Everybody gets a shot.
Yeah, he's going to get a shot, but what does he do with it now?
You know what? I wasn't necessarily a draft Shedeur guy, but I will bet you at some point he has a 30-touchdown season. Is that a measurement of success? I don't know.
Which team?
I'm thinking probably the NFC South, maybe Carolina.
And is Deion his coach in this scenario that you're painting?
Well, I hadn't thought about it before, but now I am. Now it's all I can think about. Yes.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I think we can put all the delusions of Shedeur, Deion pairing up in the NFL. I think all those officially have to go on the top shelf now. A little bit back burner.
Why?
Because the NFL just basically gave them one big middle finger.
Well, okay. But you don't think this is going to come back next year? If Shedeur is on the team and the Browns are bad, as we expect, they have the lowest win total in Vegas odds. You don't think Kevin Stefanski is going to get fired, and you don't think the first name that everyone's going to talk about is Deion Sanders? Let's be realistic. A year from now, it could be a topic.
I'll give you that. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. But then again, we had a topic.
You and me will make it a topic.
I was going to say, but then again, we had a topic earlier today where we asked whether 100 men could win a fight against a gorilla. So clearly the topic sheet that we have is pretty wide.
Well, right. I mean, there's some topics that are so interesting, they're just undeniable. The gorilla versus 100 men, and will Deion be a head coach in the NFL? I mean, honestly, yeah. We will make sure that, not we, but everybody will make sure. There's going to be, Deion, now that Shedeur is not in Colorado, I'm telling you, he's going to be thinking about the NFL. I really believe that.
Today is Wednesday, which means the great debate. Today's great debate for you is, what's the greatest sports meltdown?
You cannot be serious!
My pick of John McEnroe, 1981, Wimbledon, and he's like the OG. Like, if we don't have John McEnroe saying, you cannot be serious, do we even have any of the great meltdowns that we have today? I mean, he just laid the framework for everything. But what do you think is the greatest sports meltdown?
I would just say, there are lots of crazy athletes. I think they would have found their way. We're talking about Ron Artest, who's one of them. I mean,
that came later, though. And we don't have Charles Barkley throwing someone through a plate glass window is not on camera.
I just think some people are, including McEnroe, are so undeniably hot-headed that they would have melted down eventually.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. The greatest and biggest sports meltdown of all time is what? Let us know.
He's an idiot and a fool.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere,
applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff Show. Great Debate Wednesday. The Great Debate today is the greatest meltdown in sports history. I was thinking about this. We have a real gallery of crazy people here. We had a little Antonio Brown.
Thought you'd been on the show.
Yeah, we do as well. Oh. John McEnroe, Mike Tyson. But then there were some quite normal people who melted down, like Jim Mora. No one ever called him crazy. Danny Green was quite reasonable. Sometimes in sports, including Tyrese Halliburton's dad, you just get
labeled.
You just get excited and you melt down. Yeah, you lose it.
Everyone's got their breaking point.
T.O., by the way, on the crazy people thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it
George
is interesting.
Brett, Pine Tar incident, although he was kind of known to be kind of on the edge.
I wouldn't think of Mel Kiper's an unlikely meltdown guy, but that was the one, the loose news hook. Like he's never really melted down like this.
I mean, Mel was going through it during the draft. That was the inspiration for this great debate this week. Mel Kiper was so behind Shedeur Sanders and saying he was the best prospect in the draft. Not best quarterback, best prospect. And he went pick 144. Now, Mel's been wrong before, but this was as loud wrong, I think, as he's ever been. And he was defending himself vigorously during the draft, saying, "You all are wrong. I'm right."
Yeah. A lot of people are saying that the NFL doesn't know what it's doing when it comes to drafting quarterbacks, which is probably true. But the thing is, the people who are saying that probably don't know either. It's hard to predict.
Who's responsible for that? Mel, Mr. Draftnik. How many people have you been misled? Jimmy Clausen, Will Levis.
They've been doing it wrong for 50 years, according to Mel.
Yeah, I saw Joy Taylor came out and says the NFL has no idea what it's doing when it evaluates quarterbacks. I'm like, that might be true, but like, do you know any better than them? Well, I just think that it's a total unknown.
Her brother might. I mean, Jason Taylor, whose son got drafted to EJ's Jets as a tight end.
They've been misscouting punters this entire time, you guys.
Yeah, we're going to find out up is down, black is white. Okay, the greatest meltdowns of all time. Mike's in California. Mike, who melted down? Mike, are you there, pal? Mike, put you on hold. Let's go to Troy, who's in the Bay Area. Troy, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing?
All right, and yourself?
Doing great. Who's at the biggest meltdown?
I think one of the biggest meltdowns to me was Gilbert Arenas being in the locker room with his teammate, and they both put firearms on each other.
Oh, yeah.
All-timer.
Maggie, were you in D.C. when that happened?
So I had graduated, and I covered two seasons of Gilbert Arenas in Washington, D.C., but I moved to New York City to work for the NBA the year before that. So I could have covered a story where Gilbert Arenas poops in a guy's shoe.
Wait, did you see this coming? Was he a wild card?
Gilbert, no, I never saw this coming. He was always very eclectic, though. I mean, you can see from his podcast, and thank you for the call, Troy. You know, Gilbert's dad was an aspiring actor. They, like, lived out of their car for a while when he was a kid. He has this, like, really interesting backstory, and he was just a character. He was very, very different. You know, calling himself Agent Zero. He was blogging at a really early time. Like, he was just a different cat, but I never thought he was, like, bring guns into the locker room kind of guy. He always seemed more happy-go-lucky. I would say goofy. I think that that'd be wrong, but something closer to that than dangerous.
Would he talk to you?
Yeah, at his locker all the time.
Yeah.
Constantly.
That's because
he was the star of that
team. I gotta tell you, when the story came out, if you didn't know him that well, you would think, oh, this guy's, you know, kind of violent or something.
No,
Interesting for me to hear that.
You don't really know the guy, but, you know, I covered him for, you know, 41 home games and then the playoffs one of the years. But, you know, he had a thing like he would do stuff like this. He would wear shoes in the first half that he knew were not, like, he'd get fined by the NBA if he wore these certain shoes. Then he'd change them at halftime. Right. So it's like just when they're on to you, then he'd change them at halftime, then he'd go out and drop 50. Like he just had this sort of funny jokes on you kind of thing.
Yeah. That whole thing was a prank. Like it started as a prank.
It started as a prank.
The guns started as a prank?
Yeah.
Like just Javaris thing, Crittenden didn't take it that way.
Yeah. He didn't think that Crittenden would go and get an actual gun.
But right, he definitely did go number two in his shoe.
That, yeah.
In Crittenden's shoe?
Yeah. It also was a prank.
I actually didn't know that either. There are some guys who were, you know, who was always scary, like Vernon Maxwell. People were really afraid was going to be violent toward them.
Yeah,
that's
well,
a
that's
funny
different.
Guy. He
yeah,
is a funny
see,
dude.
Actually, oh, I didn't. No, now that you say that, I didn't know that Gilbert Arenas was started as a prank. I had no idea.
Yeah,
I didn't follow that story as closely because I think a lot of people thought, oh, he's the guy who brought guns in the locker room. He must be a gun guy or something. And he's not.
I think a lot of guys are like. Carry guns because I think they worry for their safety and getting your chain snatched off your neck when you're at a nightclub or something like that, or people step to you and they want to make a name for themselves. But no, he never came across as violent. There's never been anything, as far as I remember, anything about him like being violent, like domestic stuff, nothing like that.
Yeah, I mean,
unfortunately, his kid was just in this horrible car accident, but it looks like he's out of the coma.
I mean, it was John Morant, a gun guy. I don't even know what the deal is with that guy.
Yeah,
I think he's doing a lot of that for Instagram, but. It's bizarre and kind of not good for either, because Gilbert was a great player who's only remembered for that.
Such an exciting player. He really, really was. Yep. I mean, he blew it big time.
Ahead of his time, too. If he played today, I think he'd be a bigger star.
Steph Curry, like.
Yeah. I think I was shooting from 30 feet back then.
Mike's in California. Mike, you're back. What is the greatest sports meltdown of all time?
So one of my all-time favorites was in 2001 between the Saints and the Jets when Damian Robinson face masked Aaron Brooks and Kyle Turley lost his mind, drags him down the field, rips his helmet off, the scrum ensues, throws it down the field, and then tries to take on the Jets sideline.
It's a memorable play. We've got it for you.
At 16-9, deep into the fourth quarter, Saints at the Jets 6. Aaron Brooks takes it himself down to the 3-yard line, but then it gets ugly. The Saints were upset. Brooks is grabbed by the face mask by Damian Robinson, who rips the face mask backwards. Robinson is penalized 15 yards. Kyle Turley objects and then starts the brawl, throws the Jets' helmet. He's penalized and ejected.
Yes! Who can mistake that voice?
Yeah, that was all-time classic.
One and only Dan Patrick. Mike, it's great to hear from you, pal. Thanks so much for checking in. What's that?
That wasn't Stuart Scott.
So break this down for me again. Kyle Turley did what? He pulled off somebody's helmet or he pulled off his own helmet?
No, he pulled off a Jet player's helmet.
Yes.
This was Sunday Night Football.
So not like Aaron Donald, who pulled off his own whose own helmet he uses as a weapon.
Wait. No, Miles Garrett, I'm thinking of, pulled off Mason Rudolph's helmet.
Donald did it too in practice.
That's what I was saying. Aaron Donald swung his own helmet. Turley was swinging the other guy's helmet? Or
he didn't even swing the guy's helmet. He just took some guy's helmet off and threw it like 30 yards down the field. This video is crazy. You guys remember Kyle Turley? He was like long blonde hair, tattoos. Like he looked like a maniac.
No, but then he what's his story now, Pearl? Did he get sober?
Kyle Turley?
No. I'm sorry. I think that he was outspoken on concussions and CTE.
No, I have not followed Kyle Turley. I remember
he used to be at the Super Bowl all the time, and he would come around and he would play songs for you on his guitar.
I think he's a cannabis guy.
Cannabis. That's what it is.
He's a big cannabis guy.
Thank you. Kyle as an Turley, alternative to painkillers.
Yeah, I'm reading this stuff
Thank
now.
Thank you. Sorry, it took me a minute to get to that.
Yeah, that is bad. I mean, I think what Aaron Donald did could also fit in this. That was a joint practice, right?
I think it was the Browns.
Yeah.
And it led to our pal Zach Gelb having like an all-time interview that went viral, because he asked about it. And the PR jumped in and said, Zach, we're not answering those questions. A little bit like Belichick's girlfriend in the Sunday morning conversation on CBS.
Maybe that's where Jordan got her strategy from.
Yeah, we'll get to her in a second because that story is not over. Hooray. Rick, though, is in Myrtle Beach. Rick, you have a great one because a lot of the people we've picked are kind of known for their meltdown, but they're known for other things, too. You pick somebody who's only known for their meltdown.
Hey, good morning. Yes. I think it was Single-A Braves a couple years ago. Tim or Tom, I forget his name.
Yeah.
The coach or the manager, he was arguing a strike, ran out, grabbed home plate, threw it, ran behind the pitcher's mound, got on his belly, crawled, threw the grenade at the pulled a John Morant and threw the grenade at home plate.
Amazing. Rick, it's funny. It's kind of like shorthand for like, hey, remember the minor league manager who, and like you just fill in the rest. His name was Philip Wellman.
Yeah, you don't need to know his name. He's the grenade.
Okay.
The grenade guy.
That's
the army crawl is by far my favorite part of it. The commitment to that bit. I mean, it went on for what, 5 minutes?
Oh, it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I have an honorable mention.
Okay, go ahead.
How about Dennis Rodman kicking the photographer?
No doubt. Rodman, that was... And that guy sued him,
too. He was all upset. I think that was against the Pistons, if I remember right. Jeez. And he was getting slammed, and he fell to the court and right in front of the photographer and kicked him right in the... He got in a lot of trouble for that.
Yeah, got in trouble. Rick, thank you. He got in trouble. He got sued. I mean, Dennis was spiraling, you know, for 10 years now. Dennis spiraled... That was definitely one of his worst moments.
Yeah.
He was a bad boy piston. I mean, he was like, I'm not excusing the behavior. So, of course, he was a complete wild card.
Sorry, which team was he on when he kicked the photographer?
The Bulls.
He was on the Bulls.
Oh, he's on the Bulls. Okay.
Yeah. This is a Bulls T-Wolves game.
Because the ultimate spiral was when he was a Spur, right? That's when he was in the car.
Well, that's when he is the car with a loaded gun. Yeah. And thankfully, did not pull the trigger and went on to have the Hall of Fame career.
Become North Korea's favorite basketball player.
And married himself. At one point, in a wedding dress.
I wish I could love myself like Dennis Rodman loves Dennis Rodman.
Okay. Yeah, he was definitely putting on an act.
You
I don't think he loved
Carmen
himself
Electra
that much.
For a day. Too.
That too. Maybe 2 days.
Actually, you might not even remember Carmen Electra.
I mean, I know what her face looks like, but I know her because I know what her face looks like. Did she make music or something like that?
It's funny that you would
she
go
probably
to the,
has made music at some
go
point,
to the face.
But...
She was a muse of Prince.
Oh, I'm familiar with Prince's work. Yes, yes.
I don't know.
Purple Dude.
Is that her claim to fame, though?
Yeah. Well, she was discovered by Prince.
Yeah, but I think her claim to fame was she was America's crush for about 4 years, and she was all over MTV. And
she participated in one of the most seamless handoffs, and one of the rare, you don't want to replace, you don't want to be the person who replaces a legend.
Are you going where I think you're going here?
Hell yeah.
You better be.
Carmen Electra replaced Jenny McCarthy on Singled Out.
Yep.
It was like no one passes a torch like that. It's like the Green Bay Packers.
Torch Marvin passing? Rogers.
Yeah.
That's the Michael Jordan, LeBron, Jenny McCarthy on Singled Out?
No, there
Singled
were no
out.
Gaps. LeBron and Jordan, there was a gap in the between where we had to deal with like Michael Redd. This was seamless handoff. I'm just kidding. I like Michael Redd.
What was Singled Out again?
It was a dating show hosted by Chris Hartwick.
Who's still doing things.
By the way, I told Maggie this. And
I mean, technically he is.
She looked at me like I was crazy.
Popular.
I caught a show on MTV last night.
Oh, Perloff came in and was talking about this. Go ahead.
So you know what Knicks, channel MTV is on?
I was watching Knicks Pistons. 20? I barely ever watch cable television unless it's sports. And the Knicks Pistons was so ugly, I'm like, I have to turn this channel. So I was flipping around, and I went, there were about four Marvel movies on. There's a show on MTV where they catch another person cheating. Does anyone know this show?
I saw the commercial with people like running and jogging over fences and stuff like that.
It is the single wildest reality show I've ever seen.
Cheaters are back?
They just do not pull any punches. They have a private detective who follows the cheater around for 3 days. Then they confront them. There's inevitably a fight. It's like Jerry Springer meets Teenage Mom. It is. It's hard to describe.
Wait, I thought MTV only showed ridiculousness for 23 hours a day. Now they got new shows?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is new. Is it new?
I think it's a new season.
Yeah.
But the commercial had me and my kids on the floor laughing because, like, a dude climbs, like, an 8-foot fence, flips over to get away from this, like, SWAT team of private investigators. Yeah.
But the host is unbelievable because all she's doing is drumming up controversy. Like, if it seems like everyone's getting along, she'd be like, you have any problem that he's sleeping with your girl?
So, wait, the person doesn't know or they do know that they're being cheated on?
The person,
they have a suspicion.
They have a suspicion.
Does their suspicion ever turn out to be wrong and the guy was just visiting his grandmother?
That's
never.
Not the television.
And somehow they always have footage of the other people hooking up, making out.
Oh, yeah. So it's just people who are real sloppy, too.
They're like, what is this building that Tia's at? Oh, it's a swingers club.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, Tia went to a swingers club. I can't describe the show. I think it's going to become a big phenomenon. If it's newer, I mean, it was pretty good.
Is this going to be bigger than Jersey Shore?
No, Jersey Shore was gigantic.
That's a Goliath right there.
But
Catfish was big too.
Maggie, was enormous. Just get back world. To him. Did you come back? Were you a TRL generation?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so that was staunch. Like that was your base.
Oh
like,
yeah,
that I started mean, every day. Okay.
I thought Carson Daly was cool. That
he is cool.
That's my mistake.
He's cool now. It's in a middle-aged dad kind of way.
No, I mean, listen, he had a great career. He's on the Today Show, but no, I was a TRL, like watching what New York City looked like from where I was growing up. Always seemed so glamorous and amazing, and you know, singled out. Like I grew up where this was the ideal for women. It's like you want to be looking like and acting like some kind of combination of Jenny McCarthy and Carmen Electra on this show.
Wow,
it's a high bar, guys.
Yeah, TRL. That's classic millennial content right there.
Yeah, EJ, did you get TRL?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. EJ and I are both millennials, just at the different end of the spectrum. Right. I'm the early, and he's the late.
Yeah, I was watching like Maggie may have been like in high school. I was probably like in elementary school or like middle school.
Who's TRL?
Yeah.
Yep.
There you go.
It's amazing that these shows faded in a way. Like, why TRL was like the biggest show forever, and now it just isn't there anymore.
There's no music videos now.
Yeah,
why.
I was going to say, I don't think people are doing music videos as much. That was kind of the crux of the show. You had to count down to the best music video of the day.
Yeah, and then, okay, so slightly older, I'd slip over to VH1 for Remember the 90s. Remember those? It was just a constant stream of Bill Bellamy making funny lines about, like, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I'm like, yep.
Behind the Music?
I think
Behind
the Music.
I think that show's now called Around the 2010s now.
Yeah.
Remember the aughts.
Yeah, I think it actually was really Remember the 80s when I was watching. But that they created more content. Maggie, have you ever done one of those shows?
Gosh. The fact that I was ever asked to be on a countdown show after I grew up with all those countdown shows, the top 100 songs, the top 50 greatest moments, the top most shocking MTV movie awards moments. Like, I wouldn't leave my house if that was on.
Oh, I know. Okay, so
is how we all ended up
here. By the way, these things don't exist anymore, but MTV might be making a comeback with this show. Trust me.
Yeah, it's called, apparently, Caught in the Act.
Yeah.
It is 3 seasons in.
Okay.
Hosted by Tammy Roman. Remember Tammy?
No.
Nope. No.
Original. Isn't she from the original Real World?
Oh, that Tammy, who was she was married to a basketball player.
Yeah.
That's who that is.
Yeah.
That's
the show. She's the host. She's like 60.
Yeah. She's 55.
Yeah. That,
sorry, Tammy.
Apparently, the challenge Real World, apparently, that's still going on.
Yes.
Challenge is definitely happening. She's also married to Kenny Anderson.
Yeah. I just found that
out. And the biggest star now out of the challenge is Theo Vaughn, who's going to probably be the next
vice president.
Yeah, he's now the number one interview in America. Like, you have to go through Theo.
Wait, Theo was on Real World?
That's how he got famous.
Shut up. I did not know
that. And you know who else? Kyle Brandt.
Kyle Brandt was also on Real World.
And The Miz. Yeah.
And The Miz was also on Real World.
Jamie Chung.
That's right. Yeah,
sure. No, Kyle Brandt was also on a soap opera.
Yep.
Kyle Brandt from NFL Network. He was a soap opera hunk, like a soap opera star.
How we got here, I have no idea.
The problem is we left no time for Bogues to do his headlines.
I'll see you guys tomorrow.
No, later, you got to come back.
No, it's okay. I'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, hold on.
No, we need some sports, Bogues. You got to help us here.
I'm not here for that.
He's just already looking up Jenny McCarthy clips.
Did you see how excited both Bogus and I got when you said Carson Daly was cool? I'm like, well, if he can be cool, we can be cool.
I got a chance.
Yeah. I said I made the mistake.
This is a 2000, guys.
He was dating Tara Reid. Anyway, and that's the end of the rabbit hole. We'll get back to sports. We promise in just a moment because, oh, this headline didn't see coming. And I love the details of the story. Like, love them. Do that next.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Expecting
that little something
extra when they come to a show.
Hey, this is Jennifer Lopez.
Hi, I'm Britney Spears.
I have a man crush on Carson.
Tough morning. We got you. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Wow.
Wait.
I would have changed that edit. It's a little rough.
That was their intro.
I know. That was Total Request Live. We got into a nostalgia bomb the last segment, and we missed Bogus's update. Bogus, bring us back to sports because we are a sports show.
Well, the Milwaukee Bucks had a not great meltdown last night in overtime in Indiana. Multiple turnovers, 0 points in the final 40 seconds, allowing a 7-point lead to become a 119-118 season ending loss. Cue his music.
We came out of the timeout with a foul to give. We're supposed to use it, didn't use it.
Those are the things that just kill you. And that, I think that ended up in a Halliburton three-point play.
Dockie Rivers. His Bucks with their third straight first-round exit, the last two at the hands of these Pacers. Now, when this game was over, Tyrese Halliburton's dad went onto the floor to trash-talk Giannis to his face, leading to a forehead-to-forehead confrontation. Here's Giannis.
Being humble in victory, that's the way I am. Now, there can be a lot of people out there that are like, no, when you win the game, you know, it's a green light for you to be disrespectful towards somebody else. I disagree. I've won the championship. They haven't. Snitches get stitches.
Halliburton said his dad, John, was definitely in the wrong here. Giannis said he and the older Halliburton are now in, quote, a good place.
Can I ask you a question? When you were saying, if you're Giannis, be humble in victory because I won a title and you didn't. Is that a bit of an oxymoron there? Like, aren't you not being humble by pointing that out?
No, he's just...
I said, you don't know me.
Those are his credentials. He's an expert.
Yeah, he's saying if I was humble, then you should be humble.
Right.
He's like, yes, I am humble because I'm better than everybody else.
You don't know me. And
that's
then
by
I said,
definition, the
exactly.
exact opposite of being humble. That's saying, called being braggadocious.
He's saying, I've won, so I know how you should behave in winning. Tyrese Halliburton and John Halliburton are newbies.
Exactly.
I know what he's trying to say. I'm just saying. I meant this before. Giannis should just shut up and say, we got our butts kicked. I'm going to get him next year.
Well, on what team?
Because
he heard the spin doctor
be the problem.
There. I don't know if it's going to be the Bucks.
Limited drama in Denver and Orlando last night. The Nuggets dropped the Clippers 131-115 behind 43 from Jamal Murray for a 3-2 series lead. And the Celtics knocked off the Magic 120-89 in Game 5 in Orlando. Boston will not know its next opponent until at least Thursday. The Pistons forcing Game 6 at home with a 106-103 win over the Knicks at the Garden last night. Former Mets ace Jacob DeGrom got his first win since April 23rd of 2023 last night. Scoreless, just 4 hits, 7 Ks as his Rangers pounded the A's 15-2.
Yeah, it's been a while. So, obviously the goal is to win, especially the team. So, tonight was trying to go out there and put up zeros and give these guys a chance, and they did a great job of scoring runs.
The current Mets won again last night, 8-3 over Arizona. They are now 21-9 for the season. The first three Yankees went deep in a 15-3 rout in Baltimore. The Bombers, the first team ever to start multiple games in the same season with back-to-back-to-back homers. The Red Sox went deep 5 times in their 10-2 victory in Toronto. And last but not least, the Golden Knights and Wild in overtime last night. The winner would have a 3-2 series lead.
It ends up at the left wall for Hayes. Drags it back, put it into the corner. Pearson centered. They score! Brett Howden, a hero again! 3-2 in overtime. Brett Howden gives the Knights a 3-2 series lead.
That's Dan Duva on Golden Knights Radio. Should mention as well, the Hurricanes knocked out the Devils, taking their Game 5 in double overtime, 5-4. Guys, back to you.
Folks, thank you very much. Quickly, Dom is in California. Dom, you have a comment on this quarterback draft class that we've been crushing for the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I just think, I don't know if you agree with me or not, I thought it was a really good quarter. It wasn't like there was a whole bunch of great quarterbacks available, but the ones that were taken, and it seemed to be that there were quite a few, were all pretty good that'll probably catch on with the team, you know, when they get down to the final cuts and things, and they just wanted your feed. I mean, all the way from Cam Ward to Riley Leonard and Will Howard.
Yeah, Quinn Ewers. I mean, listen, Dom,
a lot of them.
It's an interesting point. I just don't know if the ceiling's that high on these QBs. We're going to find out. But do you see the next, MVP coming out of this class? I think we'd be shocked. Well,
but we didn't see Patrick Mahomes, who fell to 10, being an MVP necessarily. So it's, to be honest, I don't think a lot of people saw Josh Allen as a surefire MVP. He was a bit developmental at the time.
Yeah, but that class was touted, that 2018 class. It was Baker, it was Sam Darnold, Lamar, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen. I mean, they didn't all work out, but people were excited about that class.
Yeah, I mean, but listen, I don't think Lamar was any more touted than these other guys. He went to 31. I didn't think that class was such a guarantee. Baker Mayfield shot out of nowhere. It was undersized. I didn't think that was a generational class. Sam Darnold was the one everyone was watching.
Yep, Darnold Rosen was in. Yep.
Now, I kind of disagree with that because Rosen was very, Josh Allen was very iffy. People are like, he stunk his last year at Wyoming. Next year's class, I was looking at a lot of look-aheads. Like, next year's class is all guys who weren't good enough to go in this year's class, like Drew Aller and Cade Klubnik. So there's no guarantees. I think that's an interesting point by that. I think that every quarterback class, it could be good. It really could be good, believe it or not.
Well, we'll see what happens with Ward and then Jackson Dart are the two first rounders. And then obviously Shador is the other big one. Quickly, the Daily Deion.
Daily.
Do you believe in that?
Deion.
All right, so this is not Shador related. Just a quick update on Deion. And if you are somebody who may be looking for a new home in Texas, I want to find out exactly where it is. Yes, outside of Houston, Deion Sanders' mansion is for sale right now. It's 8 acres. You get your own pond. You got a private dock, swimming pool, kitchen, entertainment space. It includes a 14-bay garage with two oversized bays. You also get a grand foyer with a floating double staircase, marble floors, floor-to-ceiling windows, built in 1999, 5.95 acres. Did I say that? 9 bedrooms, 11 bathrooms, Pearl.
That's a lot. Oh, that's lovely to have that many bathrooms, so many options.
Prosper, Texas.
So this is the town that Jerry owns, right?
Famous. Yeah, sorry, did I say Houston? This is according to the Houston Chronicle. Apologies. It's in Prosper, Texas.
Yeah, so this is a weird little town that Jerry Jones owns the whole town. Like, Main Street is all... So they... He's like, well, I guess Shador's not going to the Cowboys. I might as well get rid of this place. That's my thought. Or the Texans or any Texas school.
Well, I'm wondering, you know, listen, you got your kids drafted now. You downsizing. I don't know if maybe that's it. Your kids are officially, they're out of college. Now they're on to their professional careers. Or is this a good sign for Colorado? Maybe he's really putting down roots in Boulder.
Yeah, he actually, but the funny thing is he bought a mansion in Berea, Ohio.
Yeah, right.
Where the Browns pride. Kidding.
Right
not
next
yet.
To Jimmy Haslam.
Not yet. I wonder if he's gone on Zillow, though.
Thank you to EJ Stewart. Thank you to Manny Rodriguez. Thank you to Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Widow's Coffee Drinkers. You guys were awesome today with all your great sports meltdowns. Keep them coming on X at Maggie and Pearl. We'll see you tomorrow.
You cannot be serious.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I'm Tyson Hatcher here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.